Men, it's time to make friendship a priority in your life. It is time to get clarity on what a true spiritual friend is. And we are here to help you do just that. In this season of the Cross Training Ministries podcast, Joe Barnard and myself, Evan McGinty, are going to guide you to discover 10 marks of a spiritual friend. We're going to help you get on a path of spiritual growth with a band of brothers. Let's get started.
All right, Joe, so let's talk about spiritual friendship. I've spent the last few months, probably 2 months, talking to guys about spiritual friendship and actually doing an exercise with them that I've found has been pretty interesting and beneficial for getting guys to start thinking about what is spiritual friendship, because I think guys just, they really haven't even put a lot of thought to this. So I've been doing something I call Build a Buddy. And in this exercise, what I do is just like little girl. You got a little girl, right, Joe? And has she ever been to Build-A-Bear, the store Build-A-Bear?
She doesn't know about it, and I'm going to try to keep it that way.
All right. I would do my best to keep it that way. I've got a little girl's world. I've got two of them. One of them in particular loves little teddy bears, right? And so there's this store that you can go to as a little girl called Build-A-Bear. And you can, as a little girl, walk in and pick out all the wonderful things that you think make the perfect teddy bear, your ideal teddy bear. And so she goes in and she picks out all the perfect little things that make her perfect teddy bear. And I saw that the other day and I thought, man, what an interesting concept for building a friend. What if we thought about spiritual friendship in the same way as guys? So I've been challenging guys, okay, pretend you're in a store where you get to pick out the best characteristics for a spiritual friend. You're in a store, you get to pick out what is it? What do you grab in off the wall to say, this is how I build my perfect spiritual friend? And Joe, I got to tell you, I am astonished at how vague these answers are. No one really has an idea of what a spiritual friend is or should be. It's just kind of these bland answers when you talk to guys about spiritual friendship. Have you had the same experience?
You know, you shared that concept with me several weeks ago. And so I've been using it on some guys as well with the exact same experience. It's interesting. What you find in a group of men is that whoever says the first thing is like the only thing anybody else can think about.
And yes.
So on the one hand, there's this appetite. Men realize friendship's important. They even realize they don't have the quality of friendships that they would want to have. But when it comes to trying to get a clear picture of what they would even see, given the opportunity, their mind is a blank slate. And I think that is an issue that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. No, I think we've got to get guys to a place where they can realize, hey, what I have right now isn't working for my spiritual growth. Or, man, there is something out there. Like there's a friendship type out there that I need to be aiming for, both for myself personally, but for the guys that I surround myself with. We don't often look at those men that we're surrounding ourselves with and the influence they have on us, what they're building into us. And so therefore what we're aiming for, we're never going to quite get to because of the type of men we surround ourselves. So that's part of what we want to address in this podcast. You know, over the next 10 weeks, we're going to be looking at just some individual characteristics. If we could step into that store, that Build a Buddy store, and say, man, what are the characteristics that guys should be grabbing off the wall and saying, yeah, this should be part of the spiritual friends that I surround myself with. So that's part of what we want to address going forward. For today, I want us to look at one problem in particular that guys struggle with, and that's just apathy. Guys become very complacent and apathetic in their spiritual life. Agree?
Totally. I think this is something that guys are even aware of, that they sense that there's a lack of motivation on their part. And I think part of the problem is typically we just rely on some inner reservoir of our own strength to lift ourselves out of it. And we don't realize that often the help that is most useful is going to be from outside. And so, you know, this friend, this person out there can help lift me out of that rut often better than I can leverage myself. So yeah, apathy, big issue among men today.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's a lot of times when guys just, they get stuck, and this, this stuckness seems to stay, and they almost say, you know what? I've seen a lot of guys that get stuck in this apathy, and here's what they say. They're like, you know what? Maybe I'll grow next year. You know, next year I'm going to get started. January's coming up. And so that's when I'm going to really hit spiritual growth hard, because it's the holidays right now, Joe. I don't really have time to pour into. Or, you know what? This season of life is really busy for me right now, Joe. I got a lot going on. And so maybe next, once I get over this hump, whatever it is, this thing at work, this thing with my family, this soccer season, whatever it is for the guys, like, that's when. But right now I just kind of got, I have to settle where I'm at, because I just got a lot going on. But I think the problem I've seen there is these guys always have a next thing, whatever it is. You get out of, you know, soccer season with the kids, and that leads into baseball season. You get out of this big work project, it only leads to another one. One holiday leads to the next. There's this never ending season of next in the life of every guy. And so if you allow yourself to settle in this season and say, I just don't have time right now, but maybe later, you never can get out of that. I think guys just get stuck there and get complacent in whatever season of life they are, dreaming and aspiring that the next season will be better, but it just never is. And no one ever steps in to say, Hey man, have you noticed that the past 2 years of your life, like, you've just been busy and you've never had that chance to come out of that. There's never been that opportunity to grow. Like, hey, you're stuck in this series of aspirational, wanting to grow, but it's just, it hasn't happened. And I think that's where the guys have to have that friend that steps in.
Yeah. And I think with that, sometimes we're content with apathy because it feels like it's a smaller problem. You know, it's not necessarily, I'm not having an affair. I'm not stealing somebody's money. But the truth is, it's a really dangerous place, because when we allow ourselves to settle, we don't really realize that you're never settling. Like, that's the myth, is that you're just kind of stationary rather than you're actually drifting. But you don't even know which direction you're drifting. And so it's kind of a gateway problem. It's what makes us weak, so that when other temptation comes, we're more susceptible to it. And so that's where I think, we need to say, hey, if I feel apathetic right now, it's not a small thing at all. It's a really dangerous condition. And that's why it's vital that we're thinking proactively about how we protect ourselves from landing in that position, or if we're already there, what we can do to leverage ourselves out of that position.
Yeah. I think one of the most dangerous things that can happen with men is that men in a church begin to normalize complacency. And this happens so often, where you hear guys say, man, memorizing scripture is hard. This is hard. And it's hard for me. It's hard for you. It's hard for everybody. I don't know that we're ever going to be able to do it. It's just hard. So we can't do it. Or, you know what? Sin is a struggle, man. We all just struggle with it. And we just normalize. We begin to normalize being stuck, being okay with not growing, not memorizing scripture, not putting sin to death. We begin to just give freedom to, hey, you know what? You struggle with it. I struggle with it. It's totally normal. And we're all complacent. We normalize this complacency, and it becomes, man, deadly in the life of a church, for sure. Cause you just got a group of men who are now just sitting around looking at each other. Well, he doesn't really, pursue spiritual growth in a strong way. He's kind of stuck, and he's kind of, we're all that way. None of us can really grow. We're just stuck this way. So we just normalize it across the board, and never have anybody that steps in and says, wait, this shouldn't be normal, guys. Yes, sin is a struggle. Let's go. Let's get to work. Let's put sin to death. Hey, memorizing scripture is hard. Yes, let's go. And so normalizing complacency can be just deadly, I think, especially in the life of a church.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think, what we want is not just individuals, but this is where you have groups of guys challenging each other to move in that direction of maturity. That's the answer. And that's why, this topic of spiritual friendship, it's not just about a personalized plan to spiritual growth. It's about a group of people figuring out how together to pursue this objective. That's got to be the recipe if we're talking about what's going to help us succeed.
Yes, agree. All right. So let's pitch for guys a bit of a solution here. So what are we going to pull off the wall as our first mark of a spiritual friendship? All right. So we are in the store and we say, man, we want to build our ideal spiritual friend. Here's what I'm saying we need to have as one of the first things we pull off the wall. I think guys need a friend who is a complacency cop. They are a complacency cop. Joe, kind of give us an outline of what a complacency cop is.
Yeah, it might sound like a strange term for friends. Most of us, you know, as guys, maybe think back to how we felt about cops, like in our teenage years, or, you know, it's kind of a scary thought. But I think there's several things about, if you're thinking about a cop, that is useful in this context of friendship. One is that a policeman, he doesn't need invitation to step in if he sees a problem. You know, if we just go back to, you know, a bunch of teenagers and who knows what they're doing, you know, they're graffitiing a wall, you know, they're just toilet papering somebody's front yard. If a cop drives by, he's going to step out and he's going to say something to them.
Yeah.
And it's important that when we think about friendship, that we realize we've got to have these relationships where somebody doesn't need my invitation to address a problem that they see in my life. Yeah. And we're so afraid. We live in such a non-confrontational time that even if you have kind of a mentor, often they won't ask probing questions and they'll kind of let stuff stand unless it's absolutely some, you know, terrible violation of all, you know, that we stand for. So something like apathy, that's what we're talking about today. There's so many friends that would just let that slide as if it's insignificant. And that's why we're not describing, I think, a nitpicking friend who, you know, complains, you know, if, you know, you happen to listen to, you know, some pop song in the car. I mean, this isn't some call for like legalism. This is.
Yeah, no, it almost sounds like when we say, oh, you need a complacency cop, man. Sounds like I need a jerk of a friend. Like,
yeah.
So are these people jerks? Are you asking for a jerk in your life or is this something different?
Well, and that's where I think that, you know, that idea of complacency cop. So somebody that they've got that on their radar and that's what they want to help identify. And it's, you know, it's part of the problem with apathy is we're often indifferent and often we don't really even see it. So, know, you might just be skipping church, you know, for several weeks, your wife's taking the kids to church. You're not showing up. This is the friend that actually says, hey, look, what's going on?
Yes.
You know, that they're looking for those signs of atrophy in your life.
Yeah. No, I think it's important to say, we're not asking for, I don't want a friend in my life who's just a constant cop in general, looking for, you know, the wrong color of whatever in my life, you know, but complacency is the big key there. Does anyone in my life care about the fact that I become apathetic? Is there anybody on patrol for that? Is there anybody that's looking out for when Evan becomes complacent and apathetic? I need that guy. I need that guy because I become that. I am. There are times in my life when I'm spiritually complacent, when I am not moving forward. And if I don't have that buddy who steps in and says, hey, I care about you not moving forward in your spiritual growth. And I want to ask you about that. I want to talk about that. Can I point that out for you? I think that's the kind of friend that's going to move me forward. And there's a meek way to do that. There is force that's needed at times to step into a guy that's just, hey, I'm not growing. And that's where I'm at. So there's times when you got to have a buddy that's willing to have some courage to step in there. And, you know, they've got to, be the kind of guy that cares enough about you that they will step up in courage and say, hey, you don't seem to be dealing with the fact that, yeah, you're not showing up to church on Sundays, as small as that may seem to you. You seem to be showing up to small group and not have read anything we said we were going to read and talk about. You know, we need people like that because this is kind of what it hinges on. If you're the kind of guy that actually wants to grow, then you have to have a complacency cop. Now, if you're the kind of guy that doesn't really care about growth and you're just there to go through the motions, then having a complacency cop in your life is going to be miserable and you're going to reject friends like that. You would never pull that guy off the wall. You never pull that trait off the wall if you're the kind of guy that just likes being complacent and apathetic and has no desire to grow. However, for those guys that are out there that say, man, I want to grow, I do, but I also know something about myself, and that's that when left to myself, I become apathetic at times. I think that that's when we've got to say, I need men in my life to say, hey, dude, you're getting complacent and we need to talk about that. Yeah. That's where all that, you know, kind of comes into play. I don't know. Tell me about this. Do you have any examples in your life of this, whether it's from you personally or just guys you've seen out in church or anything like that?
Yeah. Well, and you know, the first place to go, because this can sound outlandish. We've all experienced this. I mean, this is why every athlete has a coach. The whole job of a coach, or every musician, you know, has a teacher. Because if you're pursuing something that you really think is important, you want somebody who's willing to say, hey, look, you know, that's not how you grip a club. That's not how you shoot a free throw. That's not how you play a scale, whatever else. And I think what's important is what makes that work in those contexts is there's something of higher purpose. And so it's what takes it out of the realm of it just being a personal insult, but saying, no, like, I want to get better at the game of basketball. To do that, I've got to, you know, be able to shoot well. And so this person's going to tell me if my form's wrong or if I'm not being practicing diligently, like I need to be practicing. So, you know, if you translate all of that into the spiritual realm, it's really similar. It's when, you know, all of a sudden somebody, you know, sees again that, like we've described, it just seems like you're not even conscious of the tone you're using with your kids, that you're hypercritical, you know, that you're critical of your wife. You know, these little symptoms that there's something in the heart that's not right. And so it can come on and identify that. So, you know, in terms of personal examples, I think, you know, I often, this is where, you know, spiritual friendship often is within a good Christian marriage. You know, I think one of the first people to recognize these kinds of things for me is my wife, because she lives so close. But then, you know, outside of that, beginning to also think about the kinds of friends who can identify, because even as I'm a pastor, as well as cross training, and you can sometimes tell, a good elder can even tell, as somebody's preaching, like, okay, his heart's not in this like it's been before. And so, you know, begin to ask those other questions, what's going on.
I actually had an example of this earlier this week, or it may have been last week, but I was having a conversation with a buddy about a tough time I was going through. It's just a sticky situation. You know, you get in these weird sticky situations, and I was just seeking prayer, seeking advice. And then he said something to me that, man, friends, I'm glad I have friends to say these kind of things. He said, it sounds to me like, Evan, you're in the kind of situation where it would be easy to wake up tomorrow and do nothing. Like the best thing, the easiest thing for you to do is just to wake up and do nothing. I want you to wake up tomorrow and ask yourself one question. How do I die to myself today? And I think having a buddy point out those little things like, hey, Evan, I recognize you're in one of those situations where your natural inclination, because this is, he knew me, my natural inclination would be to do nothing, ignore it, pretend it would go away, don't face it head on. But instead, he's pushing me to, man, die to yourself. How are you going to die to yourself today and move forward in this, press into those hard moments? And I think, man, having a friend like that is what gets you outside of your own head, gets you outside of your own sin struggles in what you are naturally drawn towards. So I think that those are the kind of examples, those are the kind of situations where I look at my life and I'm like, man, if I didn't have buddies like this, I would wake up every day and say, well, you know, that's how it is. And it's easy to do nothing, so I'm going to do nothing. But that's not where we want, guys. That's not where any of us want to be. So let's just talk about then paving a path forwards for some guys. How do we help guys then find a spiritual friend like this? All right, we're talking about how guys need a complacency cop. And I think the guys who want to grow are desiring now a guy who's going to fight the apathy in their life, is going to recognize it and say something about it. But how do guys go about finding this kind of friendship and including it in part of their lives?
I think one of the best ways is to begin to talk about friendship and to talk about it directly. You know, friendship is something we just, we just allow to be present, but we don't really purposefully pursue a particular type of friendship. So if you actually have a group of guys that maybe you meet regularly with, you know, whether it's just Christian guys that you hang out with, or if you meet for Bible study, something like that, to make it a topic one day and say, hey, look, that build a buddy activity you described earlier, you know, do that with those guys.
Yeah.
What are the traits of a friendship that we want? And then raise this one. How about a complacency cop? Like, state the obvious. We all struggle with apathy, and we need friendships so that we're looking into each other's lives, trying to discern if there's any symptoms of apathy, and so that we can help each other get out of that rut. And so if you make that a talking point, you know, it begins to be an objective within the relationship. And at that point, at the point, you know, you're trying to head that direction, it makes it a lot easier to then hold guys accountable because, hey, look, we don't want this. And so, you know, I can see something in your life and I can bring it up because you've invited me because you said you don't want to be a complacent Christian man.
Yes.
So talking about friendship, that's one thing that's really vital.
Yeah. I think that it's, you got to state the obvious and you've got to be able to have a group of guys that you say, hey guys, I grow complacent at times in my life and I don't want that to happen. So I need someone who's willing to kind of call that out. Like, will you be that kind of guy? Okay. Yeah. You agree. And I'll be, well, is there maybe a set of questions we can ask each other every few months? You know, what if every 3-6 months we got together and we asked each other these same 5 questions that are gauges for growth in our life, gauges for apathy and complacency, or and guarding ourselves against that? I think just those simple things. Yes. I think talking about it, making it a thing, guys often just don't even want to talk about for whatever reason. Hey, I want friends like this. This is the kind of guy I'm looking for. It's okay to say that. You got to give yourself permission to do that. And then saying, how do we follow up? Like, let's come up with, as a group of guys, a few questions. Or there's tons of stuff out there online that you can go to as well and say, here's the things we're going to check in on each other every few months. And in between now and then, yeah, I am going to, because I love you, look for those areas in your life where you may be complacent. I'm not going to be annoying. I'm not going to be, you know, this guy that's just calling you and texting you all the time and nitpicking at you. But no, a guy that loves you enough to say, you want to grow, I want you to grow, we're on the same team here, let's go. Let's set a new pace for growth together. And yeah, just some simple ways to check in on each other. The other thing that I guess where I would end this is just to say, if guys have not read your book, The Way Forward, yet, you have a section in there on camaraderie. And I think that it gives a great outline of what spiritual friendship should be. It's a great motivator, I think, for guys who maybe have some friendships that aren't complacency cops. So I would point guys and go get the book. We will leave a link to the book, The Way Forward, in the show notes. You can click there, go grab it, maybe read through that chapter together as a group of guys. And that may be a good start to a conversation of how do you have this camaraderie among friends? What is a spiritual friend? Do that build a buddy exercise. Ask each other, man, what is your ideal friend? How can I be that for you? So thank you guys for joining us here for our first episode in Cross Training Ministries podcast. We look forward to, over the coming weeks, giving you more information on what we think is the ideal spiritual friend. We want to build that not only in our lives personally, but we want to help you to discover that and to build that into your life, because we want you to grow as much as you want to grow. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you for taking time to listen to this conversation. I hope that we have provided some clarity for what spiritual friendship can be. But now, it's your turn. If you don't have a friend who is on patrol for complacency in your life, now is the time to find one. Go and tell your friends, don't let me drift. Don't let apathy have a stronghold in my life. Also, if you have a group of friends and you're looking for ways to challenge one another to grow spiritually, please visit our website, xtrainingministries.com. The link is in the show notes. We're working hard to carve out a pathway for groups of men to train in spiritual fitness. We would love to have you and your friends join in with us. And if you haven't already, subscribe to this podcast. And next week, you'll get to hear Joe and I talk about the second mark of a spiritual friend.